You know, I absolutely love Christmas time. I've shared that many times before, but some of my earliest memories as a kid growing up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, was looking out our living room window and seeing snow falling. We were just about a mile or two from Canada in Sault Ste. Marie, and we got about 130 inches of snow per year, and that's an awful lot of snow. I know here in the Springs, we only get about 38 inches. I know in the mountains, we get a lot more, but I grew up around snow, and so snow was a big part of my growing up years in Michigan, and I absolutely love snow, even these days as well. I remember looking out our picture window, seeing Mr. Canisto, our neighbor, using the snow blower to blow the snow off the driveway, and those are just some fond memories I have of growing up. And, you know, for many of us, the story of Christmas is something very familiar. Perhaps we've heard it hundreds of times. We've gone to church and sung the Christmas carols, yet some of us still have not really experienced the true joy of knowing Jesus. You know, some of us know Jesus cognitively in our minds, that is, Jesus is the reason for the season, but we've never known Jesus experientially in our hearts. And there's actually a huge difference between the two. And this Christmas Eve, I believe God is inviting us to experience the glory of Christmas for ourselves. Some of us, maybe for the very first times. You know, glory in American culture is wrongly understood kind of as a cute and pretty sort of glory, kind of a glamour shots kind of glory. American glory is hairspray and lights. But Scripture, however, has an altogether different depiction of glory. Yes, it certainly involves beauty and majesty, but there's also a violent and scary dimension as well. What do I mean? Well, I mean that the knowledge of the glory of God is weighty. Theologians have talked for centuries about knowing God as kind of a suffering. To know God is to suffer with God. And the knowledge of God can actually be painful and toilsome and actually gives aches and pains beyond belief if we really understand it in its fullest way. You know, Mary was highly favored of God, yet the birth that took place in the stable was actually painful. She beheld the glory of the Christ child, the Messiah, yet there was a cost to her physically and emotionally. She had to endure the 9 months of pregnancy, and she had to go through the gossip and kind of the talking heads in town who had an opinion about her relationship with Joseph, and the delivery itself caused pain. When Jesus was presented at the temple, Simeon prophetically said to Mary, "A sword would pierce your own soul," and speaking of really what would happen at the cross. So when we talk about glory, yes, there is a beauty of God's glory in the flesh, but experiencing this glory for Mary was costly. A.J. Swoboda said, "Christianity, true Christianity, will always be inconvenient." And he's right. You know, humans have this need for really this kind of primal urge to carry around something to remind us of adoration. We think of married people carrying and wearing rings to remember their loved one. They wear it on their ring finger. But in the Old Testament, the Jews carried with them this masterpiece of a thing called the Ark of the Covenant. And this is the only time in the Bible that God was in a box. He really wasn't in the box, but it was a sign of his presence, not a container for it. You know, in the Ark of the Covenant, it marked the presence of God living among Israel. And three items were placed inside the Ark. You think of Aaron's staff and the Ten Commandments and a little piece of bread called manna. And in the desert, that's all they ate every day, manna, which literally means, what is it? Yet the manna sustained them during those desert years. You know, when we read the story of the ark, we discover an important word that is connected with it. In the Hebrew, there's a word for glory called kabod, which means two things. Really, first of all, it means glory, but second of all, it means weighty. God was heavy. He was weighty, like carrying a box of stone tablets and bread through the desert. Glory, like carrying that box, is a tiring or inconvenient, even traumatic experience. And Mary knew all about this weight. And Christ himself knew all about this weight of glory as well. He knew it most profoundly. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was and is the exact representation of God, the Father in this world. Yet his glory was veiled to those who could not see it. Jesus, the fullness of God's glory in human skin, came to die a terrible and unthinkable death at the hands of Roman soldiers. And the cross was a terribly brutal way to die. Glory is beautiful, yet at times it's scary. It's burdensome. It's weighty. And when God stepped into time, he tabernacled himself in the flesh through the Christ child. The fullness of God and man dwelt in this little baby. And the glory of heaven was now being revealed, not symbolically like in a box, like the ark, but rather actually and completely in this manger in Jesus. You know, if God wanted to speak only to our minds, Mary would have written a book and not delivered a baby. We as humans like the flash and the sizzle of a conqueror and a politician or a charismatic leader. No one wants to worship a little baby in the hay. But as long as we yearn for any kind of self-fabricated God, we'll never approach the manger with open hearts. Which is actually why a lot of people in Jesus' day didn't come to his birth. You think of the biblical scholars, the empire leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They all failed to go see Jesus. Many of them could have found out where he was. They had their maps, they had their scriptures, but they didn't go. You know, Jesus was found by those who actually entered in, not just those who knew where he was. We think of the wise men who came in from the east, who came with gifts, lowly shepherds, and a few animals. Likewise, there are many of us who can recite the story of Christmas. We can read the scriptures, and we can sing the songs and tell others that God has come. But Clayhouse, God is inviting us to not just simply know that Jesus came to our world, but to enter in the stable and to worship him, to witness for ourselves the beauty of Jesus Christ with unveiled eyes, but also know, like Mary and all true followers who believe in Jesus Christ and put their faith and trust in him, that there's a cost in following Jesus. A willingness to say, no matter what happens to me in my life, Lord, I want you to be glorified. I want you to be honored through me. As Mary said herself, be it unto me according to your word. You know, Jesus said something very profound in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. You know, as Americans, we like the glory of Jesus that involves beauty, but we tend to shy away from the glory of Jesus that involves cost and inconvenience, the weight of glory. You know, God is looking for people who will enter in and behold his glory. And what we learn from the Christmas story is that only the humble can really enter in to worship Jesus. People like the lowly shepherds. You know, only those who come to worship and present gifts and offerings like the wise men are people who know how to experience the glory of Christmas. People who are willing to offer themselves in worship and in praise. There's a difference between just simply knowing that Jesus is the reason for the season, and it's a whole another thing to actually experience the glory for ourselves. You know, when I was in sixth grade, I had a friend by the name of Doug Johnson, and he moved from San Diego, California, and he had never seen snow before. And I remember we were sitting in sixth grade class, and during the middle of class, it started snowing outside, and he looked out the window, and he could just see the snowflakes falling. And in the middle of class, he stood up and ran over to the window, and it said, it's snowing outside. And of course, me, being that I grew up around snow in Sault Ste. Marie and other places where just I could see snow every day virtually during the winter, for Doug, it was a new thing. He had experienced snow for the very first time. And during recess, he was in his glory. He loved going outside and enjoying the snow outside. It's a difference, and there's a difference between experiencing it for the first time and just sort of making it kind of a routine thing. Let's not do that this Christmas. Let's think of Jesus and worship him
Let's worship and experience the glory of Jesus. You know, I'm convinced that 2020 has not really been a year that's built our character so much as that it's revealed it. And that's kind of what tests and trials do to each of us. They show us who we really are and what we're made of. You know, if Christianity is nothing but dogmas and creeds and a bunch of rules to each of us, but we've never experienced for ourselves the glory of Jesus Christ in our lives, we haven't really encountered Jesus. It's only cerebral, but there's no encounter of a glorious King. And if we've missed that glory, we've missed Christmas altogether. You know, the only way to witness and experience the glory of Christmas is to come humbly and to behold the beauty of Jesus and to present ourselves as an offering or a gift to God. We don't have much to offer, but we can offer ourselves. And when we do this, God promises to indwell us by His Holy Spirit. And therefore, we can carry this weight of glory in our lives, the glory of Jesus. My invitation to you as we gather together this Christmas Eve is to enter the stable, not just as a spectator in our minds, but as a worshiper, not only with our minds, but with our hearts and with our lives. And to recapture the beauty and the wonder of a God who came to our rescue, our Emmanuel. Roy Smith said it this way. He says, "He who has not Christmas in his heart will never find it under a tree." And he's right. So will you do that this Christmas? Will you enter in, as it were? You know, Jesus is found by the unlikely, only those who are willing to love him for who he is. Billy Graham once said, "Christmas is not a myth, not a tradition, not a dream. It's a glorious reality. It's a time of joy." And Bethlehem's manger crib became the link that bound a lost world to a loving God. And from that manger came a man who not only taught us a new way of life, but brought us into a new relationship with our Creator. Christmas means that God is interested in the affairs of people, that God loves us so much that He was willing to give us His Son. Once again, my invitation to all of us this Christmas season, wherever we're at and whatever we're experiencing, is to come and worship Jesus with our minds, with our hearts, with our lives, and experience the glory of Christmas. We're going to conclude this service tonight by singing Silent Night together. If you have your candles, I want to just invite you to pull them out, or if you want to light them, we're going to have a time just to sing and celebrate Jesus. Even though we're in many different places, we're still the body of Christ spread abroad in worship to Jesus. Let's honor Him with our praises tonight.